Ayo, I don't know, I can really follow that.
You can, but try anyway.
Alright, right, go with this one anyway. Depression's a thief in its truest sense, silent without warning, stripping you of self-worth when you least expect it. Except you know it will come sometime, but never sure when. Then when it hits you, you can't see an end. Rich or poor, black or white, this proficient thief can turn your day to night, no matter your strength, knock you down and kick you until you have no fight. Depression is the regression into your darkest emotions, your day dominated by anxiety, regret, repeated thoughts wondering what's the point of winding tighter and tighter of your internal dialogue until your wits are threadbare and you're too tired to think and you feel nothing. The numbness of feeling nothing and nihilism attached brings the deepest pain. Being able to perceive your sorrow, the reason why, provides a route out, but the numbingness of feeling nothing writes you off, fucking wrecks you, drives you further and further down to one solution. Maybe that's why despair is the source of some of our greatest art. An attempt to wrangle and grasp our wildest emotions, to feel something, anything, to grapple with the madness in your mind, to communicate mental misadventures. Communication is key, whether you chat to a mate, capture it in canvas, create music. To feel truly relieved, you must liberate your soul. Create something beautiful, spot the same pain in another, such a simple thing. Just share a smile, such a simple thing could save a life, like someone did for me. Because love is free, and when the lights go low, it brings us back to where we need to be. So share a smile and shine a light to illuminate the world so you empower others to make your night bright.
Thanks, Henry. Shannon O'Reilly.
Thanks,
Nico.
This is for anyone who's had an intimate one night stand. Morning after, I wake to your breath warm against my ear. Your arms strewn across my hip. Your chin tucked into a nook that you've created. Between shoulder and neck, you've made yourself fit. I stretch in this makeshift bed, under the stairs, slotted between couch and wall, and wonder, what tenderness is this? As we lay in the heat of each other, our limbs still tangled in each other. I turn as you stir and steer your last moments of sleep, tracing the bones where jaw meets cheek, before you wake. Before you move from me and kiss my cheek and tell me that this is great. But you don't. Your lips brush my cheek and your hand looks for mine, the other pulling me closer to your skin, our hands entwined across your chest, before you wake and our hands come apart as we map one another's bodies once more. As we try and fail and we laugh, only to try again, only for me to claw at your skin because your lips and your hands and the way your voice catches as you moan my name have made me weak and wanting for something to hold on to. So I hold on to you. After we come, we lay listening to your heart laughing as we congratulate each other on our success. And I think, what tenderness is this? As we lie there, your hand against my cheek, and you tell me about your mother, and then you ask about mine. Your hand traces the spot between forehead and nose before the day creeps in and reminds us that we do not know each other. Hands reach for phones, jeans, discarded underwear. You turn as I dress and we laugh at this sudden shyness. We leave the makeshift bed, slamming the door on the way out, and count change for a taxi in the morning light. You order and we wait, making idle chat, as if you had not told me your mother is sick. as if I hadn't told you that my family can make me sad. I watch the route home as if it's the first time I've seen it, and laugh to myself if I listen to you talk about the weather, and wonder who you might really be. When you leave, we kiss, but make no promises to each other, and I'm left knowing too much and too little, left reeking of you, the smell of you on my skin, familiar and foreign. I drink you in before I brush my teeth, step out of last night's clothes, see my body anew, and wash you away. Uh-huh.
So glad we got you before you liked it, Shannon. I'm seriously tempted now to do a poll about who's experienced bit snapped. Let's leave that for another that's another poll. Hannah Cow.
Oh. Yeah!
Hi, lads. So I'm one of the Waterford crowd sitting beside me here. But I actually used to go to college here in Cork up until last year. I graduated a year ago. And I went to college in UCC, and I wrote this poem in my room in my old flat in Cork, which is in the city centre. And it's about someone who made a really big impact on me and was from my home county. So this is called Hiding. When it comes to you, I must admit that there's one part of me that's existed throughout the entire time we've known each other. The part of me that's still 15 and foolish and feels my heart ping whenever you talk to me. The part that remembers the warm summer days when you'd steal my hoodie and make me chase you around in the sun's afternoon glow. And the brisk winter evenings when you'd hold me in your arms to keep me warm. The part that misses all the late night Facebook chats we'd have on school nights. And all the weekends we spend wandering into the same cafes and shops around town because we weren't old enough to drink in any of the pubs. The part that wonders if I ever cross your mind anymore. That hopes that you still value me in your life. The part that would drop everything and get the first bus home just to spend one more day with you. Going to all of those cafes and shops like we used to. The part of me that just really, really loves you. But I've had to hide that part of me. Because as time went on, I noticed that we weren't on the same page. What I thought was black, you'd say was white. When I played X, you'd play O. When I followed the musings of my heart, you'd listen to the logic in your head. What I thought was love, you'd see as just friendship. All of the warm summer days and brisk winter evenings. All the Facebook chats and the wanderings around town. And all the times that made my heart race at a rate which I never thought it could reach. Maybe they didn't mean the same thing to you as they did to me. And now as I stand here after all this time, knowing what it feels like to fall so deep, I can't help but envy those who can express their love so freely while mine must stay away, hiding. I've hidden it away through all the feigned smiles and half-hearted well wishes, through all the times when people have asked us how long we've been going out and you've told them that we're just friends, through all the times I've seen you wander around town with someone new, going to the same cafes and shops that we'd always go to, through all the moments of silence we've shared because we felt too awkward to say anything to one another, through all the times I've tried and failed to rekindle that spark with someone else, and through all of the times when my friends have looked at me quizzically and asked, "You're definitely over him by now, aren't you?" And now as I stand here, having said all that there is to say, all that I could do now is hope that someday things will change. That someday I won't have to hide it away, this part of me that loves with every beat of the heart. That someday I can embrace this and not feel ashamed of it. That I won't be afraid of falling for someone else. And I can hold their hand and kiss them in the street and say I love you, knowing that they're going to say it back to me. And as for you, I just hope that someday we can smile and reminisce upon all of the warm summer days and brisk winter evenings, the Facebook chats and the wanderings around town. All of the times where we laughed and played as if we hadn't a care in the world, and all of the moments where we had to hold each other close and say that everything's going to be okay. And I hope that someday we can forgive and learn from all the anger and disappointment, tears and the bitterness, the feigned smiles and the half-hearted well wishes, and just be the kind of friends that we're meant to be. And now as I stand here, I stand tall and stay hopeful for the day that I can love another person without fear or shame. And when comes that day, when me and you are no longer at war, I can finally clear to the world that no part of me is hiding anymore.
Thanks so much, Hannah. Sue Blue, you're next.
Thanks very much. I'm going to do this again because I'm going to do, drunk as I am now, the slam poem that I didn't get to do.
Oh.
So I need a bit of arm's length as I do. And I hope it's going to lighten up the mood a little bit. And you might have heard it before because I've done it before. So this is The Silly Squid. Springtime rises in the sea and stirs the seascape's chemistry. It swells and wells its wildest plea when nature calls for procreation. A silly squid swims in this ocean, and sprung by spring into the notion of wooing for his Mrs. Squid, he swirls into a courting motion. He lifts his hat in freshest fashion, and charms her with a breath of ink, takes her hand and slings his arms around her waist, and means no harm. But Mrs. Squid, in squabbly mood from winter still in lack of food, has no inkling, has no clue, will not be mated, not be wooed. She blushes with a tinge of pink, removes his arms from where they slid, and slipping out from squishy grip, she squids a glare at Mr. Squid. Can't you wait for springtime's peak? You silly wibbly wobbly winks, cannot seduce me, not convince. Tis just not ladylike, methinks. Though struggling with his wild emotion, he yields politely to her motion. When ready, she will come to me and waits in perfect gallantry. But that's not good enough for her. She's moody, wanting attention. Don't lure me with that sneaky smile. You've got to change your hat, your style. And don't you squirt your ink at me, you lazy lover, may I speak? A lady's love goes through the beak. Go hunt me dinner first, says she. The squid, who pliantly agrees, swims out to satisfy her needs and brings to her the biggest fish that makes a perfect wedding dish. His hopes are high after the meal. He tries again to draw her near and does his best to make her his. But she has yet another wish. A bit of bling would be my choice. For every arm I want, a ring, she asks with a haughty tone of voice and sends him on another mission. He does it all to please her vision. Yet every time he thinks he's close, she bitches at another thing, and he accepts the undertone. Thus sprung by spring into a dance, bickering in true romance, they squibble squabbling through the sea, all because of nature's plea.
That's a question for the judges. Let's not go there. I'm actually afraid of where they might go now. We've got three poems in a row there about romance, and they've been so fucking different. It's trying to stop my brain from imagining what could come next. But what I do know about coming next will be Zohar.
I had time for killing the mood that you just talked about.
No way, man.
Sometimes our prison is made of roses. There may even be glimpses of rainbows from the cell. A comfy bed and no blanket. It is meant to take us, take you out of hell. Yet there is no smell or windows, not even a ground to stand on for long. Just running. This nightmare is the flight from emotion, from being alive. Rather die and strive. Endlessly fantasize a dream to achieve. Just keep it all to myself. I'll never give. The feeling buried had turned into stone. To eat enslaved, never gone. The prison of emotion, as though holding the stinging beat to my body, hoping the pain will go away. Yet the sting is there and won't go until I change my way. Now the emotions are free, I choose another way. To be myself, to never sway. Love the freedom, love in peace, in true emotion, live at ease.
Has anybody seen the donation jar?
It's here, lad. Oh, I
forgot I took it home.
I didn't want to say that. We've been watching you on that. So we've come to the end of an incredible night. Patricia Walsh is going to close it for us.
Heard of Burnfort?
What is it?
What? Burnfort?
Burnfort.
It's part of a small parish in North Cork. Okay. And this poem was about growing up in North in Burnfort, which was easier said than done, because at best I was kind of an ugly duckling, at worst I was an absolute total freak, and everybody made sure I knew it.
You're a star, girl.
And Village Savant. Picking up Mars bars outside the pub. Feeble participation in a local match. Growing up crooked in another's estimation. Skittish return of mouth, not given lightly. Local jokes, talking corners descend on this. Squandering money for sweets, high waving means. Cotters being a source of saccharine delight. New turns of phrase, lost and indigent. Fool she associated with the wrong type. Sitting beside the dud, triggering warning. Asking for advertisement to save the day. Slinking into the pub afterwards, a silent act. Over-gossiping the parish there on in. In spite of earshot, glutton for destruction. Gulping drinks like a goldfish, like so. Never achieving the prize association. Well-developed hips and resources to bear. Menstruation taking its time, diligently dithering. Infinite speech after mass rings true. Waiting for the morning to burst its load. Married, resting, fed. Sweet revenge on the straightforward. Always different, different in old town. Football ascending to higher ground. Killing beloveds for the sake of camaraderie. Rating darlings now a sense of revenge.
You gotta love the fact that creativity allows you to look back at those times and say, fuck you all. They were wrong, Trish, they were wrong, let me tell you. Okay, the 630th edition of the Ovale has come to an end. I'm fucking sweat is pouring over me. I'm gonna go home, and I remember saying to Billy Ramsey, I saw him at the Winter Warm a couple of years ago, and he actually thought it was a joke when I said it, but I meant it, and tonight's the same. I leave these nights totally inspired.
Yeah.
And at the same time feeling totally fucking inadequate. It's an awful mix. But I just want to say, I'm going to ask you to give a round of applause, but my own personal thanks to everybody who competed and performed on the open mic tonight. An absolutely amazing night. Thank you so much. And give yourselves an applause. Just always, I make sure that I get down the stairs and into my car and home safe. Because I say thanks to Ward for Crowe for coming. Yeah. genuinely is. Always, for me anyway, it's always a massive pleasure when people travel. We were talking outside the
room,
and we do a bit of travelling, and we hope you will receive a great shortly. It's amazing.
Thank you so much. Thanks
to the judges, the one and only Mr. Paul Casey. I'm just going to say your name, because I'm tempted to say something about you and Mike, but just an Alfred McGinsley. And finally, because this, I mean, what a fucking performance. What a performance.
Yes.
One more massive round of applause for our judge and guest poet. There will be no business drinks.